We are into the semifinal round of the 2016 state football playoffs, and there are still two of our teams that will be in action. There's a coaching vacancy in the premier section of 6A football, so we'll take a look at that as well. Lots to discuss, and as we like to say, plenty of teams, plenty of talent, and plenty of action. Brett Quintown with the always growing and always entertaining Seatown Rivals podcast, where high school sports is always on the agenda. Ralph Amson and Chili join me as always, so connect with us on Twitter. Many of you do, and we certainly appreciate it. Take a strong look at ArizonaVarsity.com. Always solid information on that one. And of course, give a like to our Facebook page. You'll love it. In this edition, we'll begin with the Castile Colts. Their season came to an end via shutout in their first ever postseason game a couple of weeks ago, 35-0 at Yuma Catholic. In this contest, the Shamrocks took no prisoners. They scored a couple of first quarter touchdowns en route to a 20-0 first half lead, and they were in control from start to finish. Ralph, great season. They finish up 9-2, and while they've since been eliminated, we knew it was a tough draw for the Colts since Yuma Catholic was not your typical number 8 seed.
And they had seen each other before, and it's not like one team was playing well and the other team struggled a little bit. It was dominant, and so you have to kind of make – you can't just make adjustments. You have to fix everything, and they weren't able to do that. You know, part of that's youth, and part of that's having to drive 3 hours to be able to play your game. But Yuma Catholic was peaking, and up until this last weekend when they lost by 2 to the number 1 team in all of 3A on the road after a 5-hour drive. You know, you know you're facing a really good team when they took the number 1 team all the way to the last play. So
that's true.
At least, you know, a blowout is anything 40 or more. At least in neither situation, they ended up with a running clock. You know, how many teams can say in their first season that they didn't end up in that situation at least once? You know, we're going to talk about a team later in the podcast in Desert Vista, who even in their first year, they got running clocked once. You know, Chandler just gave them their second worst loss of all time. But, you know, it even happened to Desert Vista. You know, it happens to everybody, and Castile never was in that situation. So that's definitely something to be proud of and something to look forward to.
The foundation at Castile is amazing right now, and I can imagine the vibes. You know, I know they're a little bit down because of the loss, but what they're building over there is going to be something special. Gunnar Cruz is absolutely going to be a premier quarterback in Arizona. They got a lot to expect for next year. These next 2 years, actually, because they're only sophomores.
Yep.
So next year, they're going to only be juniors. And then, you know, they're going to have their first senior class. And that's the way Desert Vista built their foundation. Bobby Wade, like, they all started there, like, as sophomores or whatever. And then they finally got their first senior class, and then they won.
Right. And make no mistake about it, though, anything less than a championship appearance for Castile next year, I think, will be a disappointment. I think that they enter next year as a favorite to make serious noise. Because in this division, you're talking about some of the best players in this division are all moving on, and you're keeping yours. Reisdorf at Sholo, gone. Callender and Jalen Barnes at Yuma Catholic, they're gone. So Drew Dixon at Sabino, he's gone. You know, Northwest Christian, they always kind of reload, and they have a great coach, and they lost everybody last year, and here they are in the semifinals for the 6th out of 7 years in a row. So and as I think a 6th or 7th seed. So they're always going to be tough. But pretty much everybody else is losing the big names in 3A. You have to be able to take advantage of the fact that you're bringing back everyone.
And I like the fact that this 3A division, well, first off, Castile setting the bar very high because they could have played 2A, as we mentioned, but with enrollment. But they decided to go for 3A. And like you said, really going for the gusto next year, and with the way 3A is set up, just powerhouses really all over the state, so it makes for continuously a very competitive division. So yeah, indeed. We thank Coach Stowes quite a bit for allowing us into your program, and thanks a lot, and we will be out at Queen Creek over the next couple of years, certainly covering you guys. So thanks again, Coach. Well, time ran out on the Bash of Bears season a couple of weeks ago when they were eliminated by the Chandler Wolves 48-6 in the first round of the playoffs. Since then, Gerald Todd has resigned as head football coach at Bash of High School. I have a candidate in mind who we can talk about in a bit, but Ralph, I certainly welcome your thoughts. It's something that we kind of all speculated on, especially when they got off to an 0-4 start, and indeed, they're looking for another candidate.
Yeah, and Gerald Todd's been pretty consistent. He says all he wanted is an opportunity. And so, you know, he got his opportunity. He was head coach of one of the biggest schools, in, mm-hmm. you know, for 3 years. Unfortunately, they play Chandler not only in their division, but also in the playoffs every single year. You know, but he also has been with this program for longer than just those 3 years. He's ingrained in the Bash community. He's going to continue to teach there, as would I if was, you know,
and I'm very happy with
more
that.
Into a CUSD. You know, they treat their teachers quite well. I'm hoping to have him on the podcast sometime soon after the season is over to reflect on his experiences, because with us, he's always been very open and very candid and very welcoming. So I absolutely bid him good luck on whatever it is that he chooses to do, and look forward to talking with him in the near future.
Man, watching Coach Todd coach was I have mixed emotions about it, because he was totally a player's coach and the players loved him.
Definitely.
But the results just weren't there statistically. And it's tough to digest and swallow when you have a team that has Ryan Kelly on it and Terrell Brown and some of these guys. I think that, you know, whatever Todd does in the future, and hopefully he gets an opportunity, maybe a coordinating opportunity or something, because he has a really, really special relationship with these kids, and you can absolutely see it. As far as candidates...
something tells me I think I know where you're going.
I know
that I have been accused of being the campaign manager for one Kerry Taylor.
Yep.
Kerry Taylor has shown over the past years that, you know, he can turn around not one but two programs simultaneously. Over here the past year, he spent some time over at Salt River High School. I know it's not in the CUSD district, but he turned in their third winning season ever. And, you know, just on a smaller note, you know, or a bigger note, whichever way you choose to go with it, PC, he has taken PC to as high as number 7 in the country and helped turn around that program. So I think that he could turn around this Bash of Bears program, give him 2 seasons.
Well, I have a candidate in mind who is the head coach of a team that is still playing, and that is Jason Mons.
Wow.
Here's my reasoning for it, and again, it's just me coming up with it. Obviously, he's a winner. No doubt about that. As much as you guys say about where this studio and where this area is, yeah, it's a little bit far from Scottsdale, but he's a family guy, and it's extremely family-oriented. Not that there is not family-oriented places elsewhere in the Valley, but I know people like to start a lot of their lives out here, especially young couples, and he would have a lot to work with at a 6A school.
I can't even disagree with Mons. I think he turns around the program in 2 years also. It's win-win for Bash.
It is.
If those are the options, they're win-win either way.
Here's the thing. Last time they had 30 applicants. 30. And they went with an in-house option. They're going to go with somebody that they're comfortable with. They're going to have Camille Castile and Marcus Williams giving their say.
Definitely.
Not just Rincon, the AD out there. Everybody's going to kind of have a say in where they go next. So it's going to be somebody that everybody feels comfortable with. And I don't necessarily think that 2 times in a row they'll go with somebody who's already at Basha, nor do I think that they'll go with somebody in the district. I think what you'll probably see is you will probably see a younger coach,
which fits the mold for both of us.
Well, yes, it does. Yes, it does.
I'm going to throw out Adam Olson at Phoenix Christian.
Wow, okay.
Olson at Phoenix Christian. He was the offensive coordinator of Arizona Christian when they first started their program. So he knows what it's like to actually build a college program from scratch. Right. He took Phoenix Christian from last year really struggling to making an appearance in the quarterfinals this year and really incorporating a lot of the transfers over from Joy Christian. He's a positive guy.
There's a lot of transfers.
Yeah.
A lot of the good ones too. Okay.
He's a positive guy. Like I said, he's young. He's a player's coach. He puts at Phoenix Christian, you have to raise money and stuff like that. He puts a lot of himself into his program, and he's been considered for other jobs, including Marco Staniza.
Okay.
So I think that would be something that And he grew up playing at, you know, he went to Corona del Sol, so he's not completely unfamiliar with this area. That would be a person that I would throw out there, but ultimately it's going to be up to, you know, the council of people who make these decisions. I don't necessarily think...
I would say Adam Olson's the Independent Party or the Green Party, though.
Okay.
So, hey, I have a ton of respect for Adam Olson, though. He's done a fantastic job. You know,
at least we're in sync
with both of you, though. It has to be, I think it has to be somebody younger, and I think it has to be somebody who's interested in stripping down and rebuilding what they have there, keeping some of the parts that they have intact. But for the most part, what Bash has been doing for the last few years has been enough to be good, but not necessarily great. And this district wants everything to be great all the time, which is kind of impossible. But if you keep that your goal, then at least someone's going to be up.
And then you have four teams in the playoff every year.
Let's make Bash a great again.
Let's make Bash a great again. I love it.
That's a recipe for Buskin Part 2.
I love it. Shout out to Terry Taylor.
Regardless of who the head coach is, a lot of good people over at 5990 South Val Vista Drive. We certainly hope to continue that relationship in 2017. The Chandler Wolves, oh boy, oh boy, 62-7 running clock winners over the Desert Vista Thunder to advance to the semifinals for the fourth consecutive season. As I look at their numbers, it's their eighth straight win. They improved to 10-2. The 62 points, the most scored this year, with the exception of hanging 63 on Hamilton. Ralph, you were at the game. They seemed to do it without a single dominating performance, but everybody rose up. And when did the running clock get into effect?
It was almost 21 seconds into the second quarter.
Wow.
But there was a missed extra point. So at that point, it was 41-0. Middle of the second quarter, there was a running clock. And then Desert Vista scored right before halftime to make it a 41-point lead again. But we had a running clock all the way through the second half. I guess there's no such thing as a bad kill. You know, this was... But that's kind of what this felt like, was a messy... You know, like if you're hunting or something like that.
Sure.
You accidentally shoot the deer in the shoulder.
Okay.
And it bleeds out over like 3 hours instead of just getting the job done. You know, Chandler had some issues in here. They had TJ Green go down with an injury. He should be fine for this week. They had Ryan Johnson go down with an injury. He should be fine this week. He had a fumble. Chandler made a few mistakes here and there. Nothing about what they did was... I wouldn't give them an A for anything in particular outside of maybe the way that Jacob Conover played in the first half.
Okay.
Now,
I'll ask you about penalties. Were there a lot? I haven't looked at
always,
those.
Always. Oh, I did the Sports 360 AZ broadcast with Jared Cohen, and I joked a few times. Every time that Chandler would get called for a 15-yarder, you know, Jared would say, this is a lot of penalties, and I'd say they haven't even reached their quota yet. This has sort of been Chandler's MO to get a few 15 yarders here and there. Refs kind of expect it, so that feeds into it.
They're like the new you.
They are a little bit.
Yeah.
They got that Miami swag.
They do try to be disciplined. Sometimes it's just, you know, the way they do, they protect the quarterback, and so, you know, at all costs, you're gonna hold sometimes. You know, they like to hit you and punish you, and sometimes on the sideline, that's going to be a little bit late. As long as nothing's getting out of control, nobody's throwing any punches or anything like that, that was the mindset that Aguano wanted to change when he came in, and he's done a really good job with it. You know, he told me one time that he's had to explain to players, you know, like a N'Keal Harry, who came over from Marcos Deniza and wanted to fight, you know, in his first ever Chandler game and ended up getting thrown out and suspended for a game, that he had to pull N'Keal to the side and say, like, that's the old Chandler, that's not what we do here. To have your teammates back, you have to show up and do your job. And so that's really what Aguano's preached for 3-4 years now. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Chandler's still Chandler. Like, they're still going to draw penalties. There were quite a few of those against Desert Vista. At one point, Chandler had more penalty yards than Desert Vista had offensive yards. You have to clean that up. All of this is going to matter when it comes to playing a team like Mountain Point and probably to a lesser extent Perry.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to clean those things up. And also, you know, yeah, not they didn't. A couple of the balls that they threw deep, they were lucky to come down with, you know, that it was kind of go up and get them type things, not necessarily a receiver being open. I love the way that the receivers blocked down the field. I love the way that the defensive line played for Chandler, but everything
else.
That's
good. That's good to hear also.
You could see them needing improvement in a lot of different areas. So it's not like this week when they're watching film that they're not going to get yelled at, even though they won 62-7. I expect them to get coached up real well heading into Perry. And on a weekend in college football where we saw 2, 3, and 4 go down in upsets.
Yes, it was. Crazy week.
Any team who's considered the favorite has to look at something like that and say nobody's safe.
I agree.
I mean, even being the favorite, I think teams like Chandler and Mountain Point, they're on notice. I saw you tweet out Isaiah Polamalu and let him know, like, hey, keep your team focused. I mean, and you got to, like, and that goes to all these guys, the TJ Greens, the Johnny Johnsons, and the especially the Jacob Conover. As cool as Jacob Conover is.
And he is. He definitely is.
Mm-hmm. I think composure is going to play a big thing as we move forward, especially for Chandler, who has this tough, tough game against a Perry team that looks
and like... Yes, and now speaking of Perry, I will definitely say best game I've seen since I've been here, without a doubt. I mean, 63-60. On the outset, you would think it's sloppy, high scoring. This was anything but. I mean, Hamilton came out sustaining drives, and that's something they did not do in the first Perry game. They were able to chew up a little bit of the clock. They managed their personnel very well. We had not seen Tyler Shough this good ever. He saved his best game of the year for his last game of the year. He ran for a couple of scores. He was very poised. He managed the game very well. And of course, when you have Jawar Jordan, who can break off at any time, which he did, that certainly helped. We saw a huge kickoff return by a friend of the podcast, Tyler Alexander. That was awesome. As I tweeted out, there were no losers in this game. Yes, someone lost on the scoreboard, but this was a game for the ages. It was refereed very well. Both teams were down. The greatest thing, no team was ever ahead by more than a touchdown. That's how competitive it was. So overall, I mean, Perry got a scare. And I'll tell you, you know what this game really reminded me of? After Chandler beat Hamilton for the first time ever a few years ago, where there were tears. I mean, Perry Nation, they cried. They were shocked. I mean, some of the players took a deep breath. Wow, it's over. It was, and I think Perry expected to win because, hey, they beat Hamilton once and they felt they could do it again, and ultimately they did. But they realized that they were in for a fight. You go on the other side, and the Huskies have and always will have pride, and they were disappointed they didn't win that game because they had a much better showing than they did in the regular season matchup. So this truly was a game for the ages. You had Christians and Dejas miss a 40-yard field goal as time expired, and that's not something he does often. So it was this was a terrific game, guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the whole point, Hamilton wanted to go in. They wanted to shut down Nate James. And they, by all intents and purposes, they did.
Yes, they did.
5 catches for 64 yards
mm-hmm.
compared to everything else that Nate James has done this year.
Correct.
I mean, he did have a touchdown pass, obviously, yes. on a trick play. But
mm-hmm.
but mission accomplished on that front. But Brock Purdy, I mean, what are you going to do? I will be honest mm-hmm. right now. I was watching the game. I got home from the Chandler game. I watched the fourth quarter and the overtime on Sports 360 AZ's stream. And when Hamilton had to kick a field goal in overtime and Perry got the ball back, I queued up the tweet, Brock Purdy did it, before the second play of overtime was actually run. Because in my head, you're in that situation, you've had the
and
season.
You can picture it, right?
Yeah, and all I could see was him taking off running and grinding his way into the end zone and getting the win. And I mean, I didn't have to change a word of the tweet, just except for I got the score wrong.
Right. Yeah, it was it's funny you mentioned Nate James. I was able to catch up with him after the contest. And for Nate James, he played his last game on that home field. So we'll get his thoughts. Nate James, this was your last game on this field. Probably one of the best high school games that you've been a part of. One of the best youth games you've been a part of. Just talk about your feelings as you walk off this field for the final time, still with at least one more game to play.
It's great. I mean, Hamilton came, they fought just like we thought. We thought they were. We knew it wasn't going to be an easy game, but you know, we never stopped fighting, and that's what really put out the win for us today. Defense stayed strong. Offense kept on scoring, and we just got it done.
What was the difference in this game and the last game? Last time you guys played the Huskies, you guys had the slant pattern working for you. You guys made it look easy. This one was totally different.
Yeah, of course, after playing a team once, you're going to make some adjustments the second time, and we expected that, but we found other ways to score. Last time, we had everybody doubting us, including Hamilton, so that we had that on our side this time. They knew what we were capable of. They came out swinging, and so did we. So,
you've had an amazing season. It's still going. You missed a couple games this year. I know one of your personal goals was to get at least 1,000 yards. You did that comfortably. Just talk about how fun it is to be in that huddle with Brock Purdy. I call him the gunslinger.
Gunslinger, yeah. It's a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun knowing that as a receiver on pass plays, most of the time you don't even have to do the work with Brock back there because we know he can run. So it's awesome being in that huddle with Brock, knowing that he's as confident as everybody else. And as together, we all know that we can do it.
Nate James, I can tell you we've been rooting for you since day one.
Thank you.
And Perry had a very solid running game, and Kenny Fultz played the game of his life. And, of course, he had the marvelous freshman year, kind of disappeared his sophomore year. We mentioned his name here and there, but you saw it. He busted out of the gate for a 66-yard gain with under 30 seconds left. I was thinking that he was going to win the game, but he had well over 100 yards. They kind of have the fire and ice backfield, thunder and lightning, whatever you'd like to call it, between Kenny James with the speed and, Kenny Fultz with the speed and Clyson Conrad, who we got to hear from. He had the power. He was a senior as well.
Clyson Conrad, running back for the Perry Pumas. You know what, Clyson, your freshman year, you guys were 2-8, but you guys have come a long way. This was your last game on this field. We'll talk about the game in a minute, but how does it feel? You still have one more in you, at least.
It feels good. You know, the coaches push us, we push ourselves, and they expect a lot of out of us. And we are looking forward to the next game.
What was the game plan coming into tonight? Obviously, you guys handled the Huskies rather easily. This time, a lot more offensive shootout. What was going on during the week?
During the week, the coaches were pushing us, like I said, and our mental toughness was there. We're quick on the ball, and we were moving. And we started off slow during the game, but we eventually came back strong at the end.
You guys faced the Chandler Wolves earlier this season. They got the better of you. Actually, they handed you your only loss. What are your thoughts going into next Friday night semifinal?
You know, we got to work harder for this game, for this next game. It's not going to be easy. Like, it's adversity is going to come, and we got to stay up. We got to encourage our teammates and just be positive along the way.
And finally, as a senior, tell us about your leadership. You're kind of leading the way. It's almost, I wish you were a junior. I wish you had one more year left, but you know what? You're a senior, but you're going to leave a legacy behind.
Yes, sir. You know, the coaches expect a lot out of me. I expect a lot of myself. I like to drive my teammates. When they negative, I get on them. So I expect positive words to come from the teammates, from the sidelines. I expect the sidelines to be loud and encouraging. So, you know, it's just overall my leadership, they stand up to me, they listen to me, but, you know, sometimes they don't, you know, but.
And that's what the locker room is for.
So. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We appreciate everything, and you've certainly run the rock very well in your 4 years.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Man, this Perry team is super special. I owe them all a lot of pizza. Shout out to my man, Tate Speaker. He won't let me forget. He's on my head on Twitter. Hit me up, at Just Chili.
Another guy who scored the other night? Sure.
Are they elite, though?
I'm not going to answer that question yet. I'm not going to give them that before I give them their pizza. Let me put it like that. But let me say something real quick. I think that this team, not looking past anybody, but they've been conditioning themselves for one game. The Chandler game, which they know they're going to have to go through Chandler in order to win state. Now, since they lost to Chandler...
Think about how weird that is. Perry trying to get to state. I mean, it almost didn't belong in the same sentence. It's just odd.
Since that night that they lost to Chandler, was it 44-35. They scored 35 points in the next game. Then they scored 55, 49, 60-something, I think. And then this big game against Hamilton. I think they've been conditioning themselves to go toe-to-toe with Chandler, which they get that opportunity this week.
They do. I mean, it's going to be a battle. It'll be held at Hamilton High School, a field that both teams obviously are familiar with, and both teams are unbeaten on this year, which is kind of weird. But, yeah, it's going to be a good one. And now, obviously, that winner will probably get Mountain Point, and that's a team that you've gotten to see pretty closely.
I've seen Mountain Point play 3 times this year. I don't think that anybody wants to see Mountain Point again. And I know Chandler's already seen them once. This Mountain Point team is good. And the worst news for everybody is when you see them in the state championship game, they're probably going to have their starting quarterback back. Noah Grover has been cleared. He's been doing non-contact drills so far. I expect that he's probably going to start or see spot duty against Red Mountain. And he'll be ready to go in the championship game.
So here's what it comes down to. If you are within the Chandler Unified School District and don't, with everything in you, hate both Chandler and Perry, you are going to spend this entire week sending good vibes to Lance Lawson. The, I guess, we'll call him athlete for Red Mountain. I don't really know what to call him otherwise. He plays quarterback, running back, wide receiver. He comes in on defense, and he is an absolute freak. And Red Mountain has upset Skyline. They've upset Brophy. And your only shot at not seeing Mountain Point in the final game is if Lance Lawson does Lance Lawson things, and Mountain Point can't stop it. Now, there is nothing to suggest that Mountain Point won't be able to do to him what they have done to everybody else, but this kid is special. They'll have their quarterback, Austin Duffy, back, so Lance Lawson will be able to move around and play different roles. And when you don't know where he's going to be on the field, he's a little bit harder to slow down. So if you don't want to see Mountain Point in the final, which I don't imagine anybody wants to, you're hoping that this kid has the game of his life, following the game of his life that he just had last week, where he scored all 5 touchdowns in a 34-33 win over Brophy, including a game-winning touchdown run. So he's definitely a big deal. But there's talent everywhere. And speaking of talent, wanted to talk a little bit about Johnny Johnson, who came over from Verado, has sort of moved into a leadership role for this Chandler team after kind of being Nikhil and Colby Taylor and Chase Lucas's understudy last year. He's the guy you depend on now if you're Chandler. He's your primary target as a receiver. He's sort of an enforcer as well. He's a great blocker and a senior leader. And today, he just announced his commitment to the University of Oregon. We had an opportunity to interview him, get his thoughts on his commitment, on Perry, and more.
All right, I am here with Chandler wide receiver Johnny Johnson III, who just announced on Twitter that he is committing to the University of Oregon. Welcome to the podcast, Johnny. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. How are you?
Not bad. So Oregon, huh? How did that whole thing come about? I know that you were committed to UNLV for a time, and people had told you, you know, for a long time, people have been telling you, you know, just be patient, other offers will come, and then this real big one comes in, and you know, you take a little bit of time to think about it, and you give them your commitment. So, you know, what made Eugene the right place for you?
It's been a dream college of mine since a young age, growing up watching football. I've always watched Oregon. When the coaches started to talk to me, they showed a lot of interest. They love the way I play. They're always talking about it. I can't wait to get me up there. Then we talked a little bit more throughout the season. Then they finally threw me the offer, and it was a lot to think about. Me personally, I feel I can play at the Pac-12 level, and I think Oregon would be a great place for me. I have family up there. I just think it would be a great place for me. I think I can compete and play at that high of a level.
And you've seen them have so, you know, they got a couple. I think they had 3 freshman quarterbacks come in this year. Obviously, the starter had a big game against ASU the other day. Was there anything about their offense in particular where you could see yourself fitting in? Maybe a little bit similar to Chandler's, the way they get their receivers the ball in space and let them make plays.
Yeah, I think it'd be very comfortable place for me to play. The way that they get the ball to the receivers and everything. They have a very good upcoming quarterback at that freshman spot right now. I think it'd be very comfortable for me.
So and you're not in a situation where, you know, a lot of kids come out and you know, they got teams looking at them, they're super athletic, and they say, you know, we like you at receiver, but maybe we could try you at another position. You're receiver all the way?
Yes, sir, receiver all the way.
Okay.
I could definitely play any other position, but they definitely want me at receiver.
Right on. So let's get into your time at Chandler, because not a lot of people know this, but you, when you were at Verado as a freshman, you put up like video game numbers, right?
Yes, sir.
So, go ahead.
You can come.
Well, so I mean, and not a lot of people are going to know that, because, you know, that's like 30, 40 miles away from Chandler. But you had huge numbers as a freshman. And then you come in to varsity as a sophomore. You end up with 8 catches. But before that, you know, people talking about, oh, you're definitely a Pac-12 level player. You know, you could be the next big thing. And then a little bit maybe of a humbling experience your sophomore year. What was it like to kind of go from king of the mountain to having to climb your way back up again?
Well, my freshman year, I had almost 2,000 yards, 23 touchdowns, which was great for me, because that was my goal, to beat all the records there. And then sophomore year coming in, I didn't get really that much balls. I got 8 passes as a whole season, which I was not very happy about. So, I mean, it just made me really think about what I want to do with my football career. And I saw Chandler as a very good way to get my recruiting up and everything. So coming in, I saw there was dudes like N'Keal Harry, Chase Lucas, all these big players, Colby Taylor, already had spots solidified for them. So I knew coming in I had to work. So coming in, that was my goal, to really get a starting spot on the team. I did that. Next was the goal to get an offer. I did that. Next was to get a big offer. And it was a great humbling experience, because, I mean, I come from a school where maybe one kid's ever got offered, and it's crazy coming from a school like that and then coming to a school like Chandler, where dudes are in the league. Coming from there, it's real humbling, because it changes your real perspective on the whole process of getting to college and all that.
You've played with so many people. Like you said, you came into a place where it was very possible that you come in as a junior and just not be able to get on the field. But you worked, you earned your way in there, and you played with some really, really talented players there on offense. You know, Chase Lucas, who's at ASU, N'Keal Harry, who's at ASU. Gunnar Romney coming up, Kerry Taylor. Colby Taylor. But what have you learned from some of those guys in particular?
From N'Keal, I learned a lot about blocking, a lot about dominating players. Because, I mean, when he came out on Fridays, he knew he was the best dude on the field. And that's just mentality at the end of the day. You could be better or not. You got to know in your head you're better than this dude. So he really taught me a lot of that. Chase really guided me through my junior year. He's a big brother to me. That's my best friend. That's one of my biggest mentors. Colby helped me a lot. Colby also helped me a lot, because he showed me that it's not just about just the glitz and glamour, but you got to stay humble and all that. Because that's a real humble dude. That's a real humble dude. I really have looked up to him going in, and then he's really got me to where I am now. So yeah.
And then now you got you're lining up on the other side from Gunnar. What's that been like?
Oh, Gunner's amazing. I mean, you look at kids, you might doubt. Okay, he's white, he's skinny, he's not big, but then he comes out, he balls, he makes big catches, he's beating dudes at the line, he's even pancaking dudes sometimes. That kid's a very underrated, and he's only a junior, so he's gonna do big things next year for sure.
One of the areas where you've definitely gotten a lot better is just overall strength. You're a lot bigger than you were as a junior. It seems like you love to go out there and block, especially when you have, you know, Ryan Johnson or TJ Green coming around the edge.
Of course.
Was that always your mentality, or did you kind of fall in love with the process of being a blocker on the outside?
Well, coming from Verado, they really taught me a lot on blocking – one of my coaches over there, Coach Jay, put a lot of emphasis on blocking for running backs to get in the end zone. Because I mean, you can't run the ball and you can't throw the ball. So my main thing on blocking is escorting the running backs into the end zone, because that creates problems for the DBs. They gotta fill in the box. So that puts us on an island with them. That gets us the ball more. So.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about your upcoming year. You're in the semifinals. Last year, you guys had a disappointing loss to Desert Ridge that meant that you didn't get back to the final game. This year, you got Perry. You got the intra-city rival. And you've seen them go from kind of like an average team to like a meteoric rise. You know, this is their first ever 10-win season. This is the furthest they've been in the playoffs, and their only loss was to you guys. What are they doing different that's kind of made them be able to have this special of a year?
I think they get a lot of momentum from their offense. Their offense is making big plays this year. They got a pretty decent quarterback that can run around and do some things. I think they're a much more confident team when they come out. I feel like, to be honest, they didn't play as much of a competition as they did so when they got to us. And I mean that shows a lot. I mean that we are playing them in the semifinals. That means something. So they are a better team, but I think in the whole big picture, we're going to dominate them this Friday.
And you did early on in that game, in that first matchup. Yes, you guys scored on your first five possessions, and then it seemed like let off the gas a little bit and then ran into some weirdness with the officials. And so I think it probably makes sense that you guys are confident going into a rematch. Real quick before I let you go, who are some of the players at Chandler that we should be looking for in the next couple of years?
Next couple of years, you should definitely be looking out for Gunnar Romney. That's a big one. DeCarlos Brooks, a sophomore, he's doing big things on both sides of the ball. Tamir Waters playing corner, he's had a couple picks, a pick six this year. He's doing big things. There's Damian Maxwell, another running back for us. Definitely Jacob Conover, slinging that thing to all the receivers. He's a big dude because he came in as a sophomore and has done big things for his offense. But I think that's the first starting sophomore to do things like this at Chandler. So.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much for your time, Johnny. We appreciate it, and we'll see what you guys can get done on Friday.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the interview. Thank you.
No problem.
Well, I tell you, these kids, Chandler truly is a pipeline to the Northwest. A bunch of guys go to Oregon State, but for him to become an Oregon Duck, that says a lot about him. First off, congratulations to him. He spoke a little bit about his next game. Obviously, that's going to be a battle, Chandler and Perry, and all forces go. I mean, I just think that Chandler certainly has the athletes, and as we mentioned, he's the enforcer. Chandler may have one more athlete than Perry does.
Johnny Yams, he's going to be the X factor without question. He has a good game. They're going to win. I think that, you know, the situation with Oregon is so amazing for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
absolutely. Know, that's great.
I think we all kind of knew that he was so much better than a UNLV program, which is very good, which is very good and has done well recruiting out
but
here in Arizona.
If you can get a Pac-12,
But
and that's what he said. He said, I believe I'm a Pac-12 level player.
And he is.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to Friday night. I think it'll be a good game. It probably, regardless of who wins, it's going to be tough to top the 63-60 overtime game that Perry played against Hamilton, but I hope it's competitive. It was a competitive contest the last time these two teams got together on the gridiron, and I'll say may the best team win and more than likely play Mountain Point, but you never know. That's why they played on the field. Red Mountain could pull that upset.
And I think, I'm not going to be, you know, CNN here and tell you it's going to be a close contest just so you'll keep viewing. You know, I don't think this game will be close. I don't think this game should be close. And if it is, it's because Perry evolved and grew, you know. I might have been the first one to jump out and call Perry elite a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, they've been elite for 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, they're a baby in the elite world.
Sure. That's,
you know, they're still being held and rocked to sleep and everything like that. Chandler's been here for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
They remember what happened to them in the semifinals last year,
right,
in a game they never should have lost in a million years. But how were they beat in that game? Physicality.
Yes.
Perry's not going to come out and be more physical than Chandler unless
Correct.
Chandler just abandons that portion of who they are and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Chandler's also healthier than they were.
That's when they met, yes.
And they've also played once this year, as Desert Ridge and Chandler did the year before, and about 100 points total
mm-hmm.
scored in between, you know, the two of them. But Chandler's coming into this a little bit more healthy. Their quarterback is getting better and better and better each week. I wouldn't put him on Brock Purdy's level yet
Correct.
As far as what his abilities are on the field. But we're starting to see Jacob Conover run with the ball. And when you add that element into what he's already able to do as a quarterback, that's the reason that Chandler had about five games in a row this year where they scored the first time on every single
sure.
possession up through halftime. And unless Perry can create a turnover or do something that they didn't do in the first game, we're
right.
going to see more of the same. Because to be honest, Chandler let off the gas in that third quarter after they opened with a big return.
They did, yes.
And from that point on, you know, Perry didn't. Perry was able to catch up because they are very talented. Chandler has a hard time turning the switch back on once they turn it off.
That's right, yes. Because the one thing I've told people, and many folks will disagree with me, 44-35, yes, 9-point difference, but it really wasn't. It was a bigger spread than that 9 points kind of lead you to believe. It wasn't as close as
the
final score indicates.
And the reason that Chandler didn't score more in that first half is because Perry had sustained
drive. Yes.
And they were showing formations that Chandler had never seen before. They've seen them now. So you got to come up with something new, a better way to hold the ball. You can't score quick.
Yes, that's
on
the one thing.
Chandler team,
right.
Their defense is going to end up right back
that's
out.
That's
the
one thing that, and that's, I was kind of surprised that Hamilton, they definitely sustained the drives, I was very surprised that Hamilton was able to go back and forth with Perry, because when you score a lot of points, Perry usually wins, especially against a team like Hamilton this year. And yeah, that's kind of the way we're going this year with Chandler. You don't want to get into a high-scoring affair with Chandler, so we'll see.
DeShane James got to get more opportunities too. Your athlete has to get more opportunities.
He does.
Nate James had a big game against Chandler the first time around. DeShane James got to come through and, you know, do the same thing. He's got to make the most of the opportunities that he gets, because it might not be a lot.
Sure.
But somehow Perry has to create more opportunities for him to touch the ball. It's got to be more than 7 times. If DeShane James doesn't touch the ball 12 times, they might not win.
I would agree. I definitely would agree.
I do think maybe it's possible that DeShane's hit a little bit of a wall. You know, you see that all the time, someone going from college basketball to the pros.
Yes.
You go from 40 games to 82-plus playoffs.
That's very true.
And so, you know, you have a situation where he is still a sophomore, despite the fact that physically he's
he's a beast,
impressive.
Sure.
But, you know, he's had a lot of touches for a sophomore. And beyond that, he's also played some quarterback.
I was going to say, and that's a big thing. He started off as a quarterback the first part of the year, which is a little bit more mentally taxing than anything. So while by no means has he checked out, not at all. But you're right. There is a possibility of fatigue.
I wouldn't depend on him. I would say make him part of the offense, definitely.
That X factor type of thing.
But like, exactly. Like an X factor, because you know, if you're depending on a sophomore to be there for you to beat Chandler, you were exactly where Chandler
wants you to be.
Yeah,
that's true. Well, guys, as always, thanks a bunch. Thanks for listening, everybody. He's Ralph. He's Chili. I'm Brett. Enjoy your Friday night. We're out.